Hey everyone, welcome back to Hope for Today. My name is Lynn Wilson. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're joining me. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? Do you know that God has hope for today just for you? Do you realize that you were wonderfully made and created and designed by the Almighty God, our Lord and Savior? So today, on today's podcast, we're going to do part two of what we started last week, that God is at work and there is hope for today. So grab your coffee, sit back. We're going to do another audio presentation. You can just close your eyes. You can sit on that comfy chair that you're on, or while you're driving your car, or wherever you're listening to this, and you can just sit and enjoy and hear what God wants to tell you today. All right, let's do it. All right, last week we went over a few verses, and I want to go over those again. We were in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 4, and I'll say 4a because it's the first part of the verse. Look around and see what is happening. That is a key verse for today. That is a key verse. In Matthew 24 and verse 33, even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, meaning the return of the Lord. Then we're going to drop down to verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. This is another key verse for today. And then, of course, we were in Hebrews 11, and we were in verse, I believe it's verse 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You know, last week I shared with you about perspective and dirty windows and the perspective on what people do when they judge us and see us and how we do the same thing. If you did not catch part one of this podcast, let me encourage you, after you listen to this, when you have a moment, to go back and listen to part one, because I really believe it will just give you that little extra shot in the arm that you need to realize that God is at work. You know, we always tend to, most times, I think by human nature, we tend to see the negative side of things. Once in a while, I'll run into somebody who says, yeah, I always look at the positive. I don't know how they do that. Most people, you know, you can say it's a beautiful day and somebody's got to say, well, the sun's too bright. Okay, somebody else says, well, we need rain, and somebody else has something else. And, you know, just, it's one of those things, we just tend to be that way. The older I get, the less I want to be around those people. The older I get, I want to make sure that my own attitude is crisp and clean, just like those clean windows that we talked about last week. I want someone to look through my life with and see the clean wash that I hung up. Not that they're looking through my spotty windows of my own life and then not seeing a clear perspective of what they should see. We talked about last week the Lord's return and the things that were instilled in me when I was a child that caused fear and confusion and no hope and a lack of the attitude of why bother and a negative outlook. And we learned about lessons that we could, you know, learn from that. So that's just a little recap. Let's fast forward now to what I mentioned last week, that there was a time when, you know, I was dealing with all this, and I don't know, I was just like, is this real? Is this life? Is this the way it's going to be? You know, I was in an environment that created this world around me of fear, hopelessness. Why bother? Why keep going? There's no hope whatsoever. And I had just had to question it. You know, the older I got, and I was a young person. I mean young, like when most of these fears were instilled in me, it was from, you know, early on, 6, 8, 10 years old. I'd say by the time I was about 12, I just started questioning, is this it? Is this all there is? Is this what I have to, why was I even born? Why would God even create me? Why would he even send his son to die on the cross when the whole world's going to be destroyed and everything's going to be gone that I know? And, oh, I questioned so much. And I'm so glad that I did question it, because we talked about this last week. The perspective we have of the Lord's return should be a positive one. You know, I have my dad's in glory. My mother-in-law is in glory. My father-in-law, my sister-in-law. I have aunts and uncles. I have good friends that are in glory. And I feel like they're shouting out right now. If they could hear this podcast, who knows? I don't know. I'm not in glory. I don't know. But if they could hear this, they would be shouting out, tell it, Lynn. Tell it. We're on the other side. And it is a wonderful thing. We paint the picture of the Lord's return as this negative, oh, look at these things. It's the end times. You know what? It's the end of the story. God said, when you see these things, no, I'm getting ready to return. That's not a negative. That is a positive. Ay, I get so frustrated. I feel like I have to get on a soapbox sometimes and trying to instill in people to have a positive outlook as a Christian. You know, we are believers. We are saved by grace. We have eternity. The rest of our life will be spent in eternity with my Creator, with my King, with my Heavenly Father, with my Savior, with my loved ones, with my friends. I'll be spending eternity with Noah. I get to talk to Paul and ask Paul questions. And, you know, like I like to imagine just sitting, talking to someone and saying, hey, you know, Mary, what was it like to be the mother of Jesus? I would love to just talk to her from mom to mom. What was that like? Now, I know glory's not going to be exactly the way I picture it, but you know, I'm a human being and I like to have an imagination. I tend to be a creative person and I'm a visual person. So I envision what heaven would look like for me. And I'm sure the Lord chuckles. I'm sure he does. He has to have a sense of humor. He created me. And just by that alone, I know the Lord has a sense of humor. And I'm his child. How many of us as parents, I don't care how old our kids get, they put a smile on our face. They say something cute. We love them. And what they say just brings joy to our heart. And I'm sure that's what the Lord sees in me sometimes. But then there's other times our kids will say something or do something and we cringe and we downright get angry and we get disappointed. And oh, you know, how does the Lord look at me? He's my Heavenly Father. On the days that I'm fearful, I feel hopelessness. I have an why bother attitude. I have a bad attitude. I don't let people see Christ in me, but they see a negative person. They see a sharp-tongued person. They see someone that's judgmental. And the Lord is cringing and saying, Lynn, I designed you for more. Lynn, I designed you for better. And, you know, in the search for my answers to why, Lord, why? Why did you plan to return to this earth and destroy it? Why is everything coming to this bitter end? The Lord really just answered my questions. He was so faithful in answering the questions for me. He knew I was searching, and I am convinced, without a doubt, that when you truly search for the Lord and you truly are, your heart's in the right place, God will answer those questions. He reminded me that I was fearfully and wonderfully made and that my life was not a mistake, but I was designed for him and to serve him and for his purpose. He reminded me that he is all around me. And yes, he left a long time ago, but he is returning for me someday. But I'm not to focus on that. Well, wait a minute. Wait. What do you mean, Lynn? You just read a verse that says, look for these things. You read a verse that says the Son of Man will come back. I'm not to be focused on that? Well, let's go back to another story. Yes, we should be looking for his return and we should make sure our life is ready for him. But how many of us have washed the dishes, vacuumed the rugs, made our bed, cleaned the bathroom, and feel really good? And a guest knocked on the door, and you answered it, and, hey, Susie, come on in. You want a cup of coffee? And Susie comes in just, oh, I was in the area. I wanted to visit with you. Or maybe she needs prayer. Maybe she just wants to say hi. Maybe she brought you a gift. And you're just so excited with open arms, and you welcome her into your home. 3 weeks down the road, you know, life got crazy. Life took over. You felt like there was no hope. You were fearful, confused. You just gave up. Why bother? That day, there was another knock at the door. Oh no, the dishes are piled in the sink. My house is upside down. There's dirty laundry all over the floor in the bathroom. I don't know the last time I scrubbed the toilet. My bed isn't made. You have no idea what a wreck my house is in. And a guest pops in. In the same way, our life should always be in order. We should have, if you want to say, in a sense, the dishes done, the bed made, and the laundry picked up. When our life is out of order, our mind is decluttered. And when our life is in order, our mind is decluttered. We don't have things that we fear and we worry. We have things in order. The Lord says He is not the author of confusion. When our home is in order and our life is in order, we're ready to go. If somebody were to knock on your door unexpectedly and say, "Hey, we have this event at church tomorrow. Can you help out?" Absolutely. In your mind, you're saying, "My home is in order. I'm ready to go." And if your life is in order, you're ready to go. But when your life is not organized and your home is a mess, we are so cluttered with unnecessary stuff and we can't see things with a great perspective. You know, I had a situation and it was a week, 2 weeks ago maybe. It was very interesting. I always can tell when the Lord is preparing me for a podcast or to speak, because He always sends me these things. And I very much love parables in the Bible. I can relate. It's an everyday thing that I can relate to. My life, when I speak on different platforms, I usually speak about everyday living. That's where we're all at. I'm not a fantasy world. I'm not living in this, you know, disguise of whatever, or, you know, I can handle the everyday. I need to know how to handle the everyday. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with someone and, you know, as my father would say, negative Nelly, and oh, the cost of food is ridiculous. Oh, the cost of housing. Look at all this stuff. You see this, you see that? And they just listed, rattled 10, 12 things off in a heartbeat. See that? This is a sign of the end times. Now, of course, if you've had things in your life growing up, you know as well as I do, that certain things will trigger emotions, thoughts, fears, etc. in your mind. That phrase, "these are the signs of the end times," automatically brought me to that place of fear and negativity. And then I had to think on these things. What does the Bible say? Think on these things. Is there truth in this? Well, there is truth that the cost of food has gone up. But on the other hand, I just read an article 2 weeks ago that the food cost in New Jersey is lower right now. Now, will that go up again? Absolutely. Everything that goes up must come down, and everything that goes down usually goes up. And that's the cost of food. But eggs, for example, were $2.08 a dozen. A few months ago, we were paying $8 a dozen. That's $6 less that I have to pay for eggs. I take that as a positive. Is that a sign of the end times, that the cost of food went down? This person had nothing good to say about anything. Is the cost of food a sign of the end times? Well, when I was a kid, I remember the word inflation and recession. I remember all of these things. I remember in the 70s, I guess it was, I was a kid, so it's hard to remember dates, that the gas lines that formed around our neighborhood, because odd and even days when you could get gas, and the gas shortage. You know, we haven't dealt with that in a long time. Remember those days? Oh, sign of the end times. Well, you fast forward 40, 50 years later, the Lord has not returned. I am still here. And as much as that might be a sign of the end times, God's not done. He's got work to do. Perspective. So we talk about this one person that had a negative attitude. It was the next day. I'm on Facebook. I'm reading a post from my son who was away out of the country. He's in Denmark and he's walking at a town square area with his beautiful wife, my daughter-in-law, to get something to eat. And he said, "Wait a minute." He grabs his wife's arm and he said, "What is that? Listen." He heard praise and worship. He said, I know that music. He said, that's praise and worship by so-and-so. And he named the artist. So they got a little closer to the person that was on the street corner. And of course, you want to be careful. You never know who's on the street corner and what they're about to say. And as he walked past this person, this man must have known my son was an American. I guess, you know, just picked up on that. I don't know how. And he yelled out to my son, Jesus loves you. My son stopped. He looked back at the man and he said, Jesus loves you more. Well, with that led to a whole beautiful conversation about the man's ministry. He's in Denmark. He's an open air missionary on the street corner preaching the word of God. He's also done some ministry in the state of New Jersey and the state of Texas and other places around the world. My son got to share how he's a missionary to Brazil. He's also a full-time pastor. We come from a family of missionaries. It was a wonderful time. They sat and prayed with each other for each other's ministry. And I sat and I thought, let me look through a clean window. No spots. This person yesterday was full of negativity. It's the end times. This person the next day looks and says, God is at work. What can we learn from these two podcasts and our chats? Number one, clean up your life. I'm not fooling around anymore. You know what? Life is too short. I don't care what age you are and how much you think you have it together. Life is short. We lived through the pandemic. We watched many of our friends and family perish through that time. God will take you home when it's your time to go. Why are you wasting what you have? Why are you wasting your time being a negative Nelly and blaming everything on the end times? The Bible says to look for these things, not to sit in it, not to dwell in it, not to just give up because, oh, end times. God does not tell us to do that. He says to look for these things with anticipation, with excitement. That's what we should be doing. We need to clean up our attitude. You know, if it means you get out some soap and water and wash your mouth out, do it. If it means you wash your windows, do it. If it means you clean your house, literally clean your house, get out the vacuum, wash your windows, do your dishes, put a new centerpiece on the table, spray some good smelling stuff around your house, light a candle, and make it a welcoming place for who God wants to send your way. Do the same thing in your own attitude, in your own life. You know, if you've got a negative attitude, change it. Think on the things that God has instilled in you that are positive, that are good things. Realize that your words and your actions can stop someone in their tracks from serving the Lord. You know, when I was a young child, I shared with you on these adults that just sat and instilled negative things. Now, whether they meant to or not, I don't think they did. I don't think in any way they were trying to instill that in me, but they created this to be a negative and not a positive. I laugh too because as a certain group of friends, not directly my friends, but through a connection, let's just say, and when we're with them, they're all about the end times. And I try and tell them, yes, God is returning. What a great opportunity we have to still continue to serve Him, to walk with Him, to do work for Him. Isn't it exciting that God is still giving me breath to breathe, that I can serve Him and do things on a positive note because He is returning? And they just look at me like I'm crazy, or they just give me a blank stare because I don't think they know how to handle taking that negative and making it a positive. We also need to have our eyes open to what God is doing. If you go back to Isaiah 60, look around you and see what is happening. If my son hadn't looked around, if my son hadn't paid attention to that music playing, if my son hadn't stopped for that man to say, Jesus loves you, and for him to yell back, Jesus loves you more, they never would have had this conversation. My son was in a foreign country, and he came back excited to see, you know what? God's at work. We talked about get out of your little bubble. You go to the same store, you live in the same house, you hang out with the same friends, you eat the same food, and you live a very boring life. Get out of your comfort zone. Go sit at a different table at the restaurant that you go to. Sit in a different pew at church. Get a different perspective on who's around you and how you could be ministering to them. Get out of your comfort zone and realize that's not where God has you or wants you. We need to keep our eyes open. God is at work. God is doing things. And when we see God is at work, that gives us complete satisfaction to know there is hope for tomorrow, to keep going, and to anticipate His return. The Lord says, no one will know when the Son of Man or the hour when He will return. No, we don't know that. You know what? If our life is in order and our life is clean and just like our home should be, if the Lord returned today, we have done a good job. The Lord can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I was told many, many years ago by someone that mentored me, when the Lord took her home, she wanted her hands to be busy for the Lord. Why not your hands, your feet, your mouth, you know, your eyes, your ears, your senses, your everything, your heart? Number one, accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Number two, give back to the Lord what is due Him. And that is your whole being. Every part of you belongs to the Lord. Your home, your car, your finances, your food. If God put somebody in your life and He needs you to feed them, feed them. You say it's your last can of tuna, not to worry. You'll get another can of tuna. It's okay. God will provide your needs. There is hope for today. There is hope for tomorrow. The Lord is returning. It is exciting. He will return with trumpets sounding. Oh, may that day be a day where you can honestly say, Lord, I'm ready. My life is clean, it's organized, I've served you well, I've accepted you as my personal Savior, and I'm ready to roll. Don't let it be a day where you stand before the Lord and He says, I don't know you, and He sends you to an eternity called hell. Don't let it be a day where He looks at you and said, did you do anything for me? Did you love me and worship me and serve me in any way, shape, or form? All right, guys, that's what I have for you today. There is hope for today. Come back next week for another podcast, same time, same place.